to order the Industrial Education and Economic Development, Finance and Policy Committee. Morning, everyone. We are having this hearing in compliance with House Rule 10.01, and which of course means it's a Zoom hearing. It is a more cumbersome way to have a hearing, but given the pandemic, this is what we're going to do. Today, we're going to start one of the charges of this committee, and one of the charges of this committee is an ongoing, this will be the third session that we've done it, a discussion of ensuring that every high school senior in Minnesota would have the option of graduating not just with a traditional high school degree, but also with an employable skill set. That, in one sentence, is the simple approach to what we're going to do. So today, I'm going to have the Ms. Schaefel will take the roll, and after the roll, then I'll come back and we'll proceed with the hearing. So Ms. Schaefel, please take the roll.
Kowalski.
Here.
Representative Sandell.
Here.
Representative Keel.
Here.
Representative Bierman.
Present.
Representative Bliss.
Present.
Representative Burkle.
Present.
Representative Edelson.
Present.
Representative Frazier.
Present.
Representative Hamilton.
Present.
Representative Liz Lagarde.
Present.
Representative McDonald.
Present.
Representative Sandstead.
Present.
Representative Sundin.
Present.
Mr. Chair, quorum is present.
Thank you. We're going to proceed with the agenda, and I'm going to explain why the agenda is the way it is. We have a backlog in the revisor's office of at least 1,700 bills. So we are going to work off today the House File 3232 from last session, which will be more or less identical to the bill that we will receive this session once the revisor gets caught up. House File 3232 comes to us as a result of the House mini session that was held in southeastern Minnesota with Winona as the center of it on October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of 2019. We had hearings, if members will recall, not only in Winona, we had hearings in Austin, Rochester, Caledonia, Creston, and Rushford. The hearing that was the one that we will concentrate on today was the one at the Winona Technical College, and that hearing was held as a result of the people that you're going to hear testifying today, and particularly one individual, the former superintendent of Winona Area Public Schools, Scott Hannon. And again, the theme of what this hearing was about was trying to ensure that every high school senior in Minnesota would have the option of graduating not just with a traditional degree, but also with an employable skill set. The bill that you see comes about because of a new type of teacher preparation that was created at Winona State University. This is the Education Village, where we took two blocks of former Catholic elementary and high schools, and we converted them into the Education Village, which will have 21st century teacher preparation for Winona State. Winona State was the first college for teacher preparation west of the Mississippi, and it has proven to be, I think, the best. So the bill that you have would do basically two things. It would restore teacher licensure and teacher certification for what was once called vocational education teachers, and now are industrial, if you want to call them industrial technology teachers, but to have those teachers again be hired in our high schools. We know that we have a deficiency. Winona Senior High, when I came there 30 years ago, had 9 of these vocational ed teachers. We now have 1, and that teacher is retiring. Representative Marquardt and Dilworth will tell the same story. So the bill that you have before you is House File 3232. It's a simple bill. It would allow the creation of this with one-time funding. And I am now going to go to the testifiers, so President Olson, and we're going to dispense today with introductions. All of these individuals have other duties to perform, so we will do introductions at another meeting. So, President Olson, I'm going to turn it over to you, and thank you for being with us today. And please address the bill and identify yourself for the record.
I'm Scott Olson. I'm the president of Winona State University, and I agree completely with Representative Pawlowski that we're the best at teacher education. And if you want proof of that, you need look no further than Gene Pawlowski himself, who earned his teacher's license at Winona State University. Thank you for your service to Minnesota, members of the House, and thank you for your service on this important committee. And thank you for the mini session that was hosted in southeastern Minnesota. I hope when COVID allows that you can continue to do these across greater Minnesota. Folks in Winona are still talking about it. As Representative Pawlowski said, one of the big takeaways from the mini session came from a very well-attended hearing in Winona at the campus of Minnesota State College Southeast. One of their largest spaces on campus was packed, and what we heard went something like this. Minnesota has an alarming shortage of workers in the trades and in manufacturing. This creates a drag on the Minnesota economy. There's also a shortage statewide of licensed teachers in the industrial arts, industrial science, industrial technology area. A lack of industrial education opportunities in K-12 means that young people who would enjoy and would excel in the trades and manufacturing are denied those opportunities. Not everybody needs to go to a place like Winona State and earn a four-year college degree. And Minnesota needs folks who pursue trades and manufacturing. More teachers would mean more qualified workers, and that every Minnesota high school student would have an employable skill set. So how do we best grow the pipeline that goes into the trades and into manufacturing? The good news is you've already made a huge investment in this. Representative Pawlowski mentioned the Education Village. You funded the Education Village here in Winona, and we are indebted to you for that wise investment. Thank you, Chair Pawlowski, for your leadership on that project, and thank you to the Minnesota House for supporting the Education Village. The logical solution is to take what we learned at the mini session, leverage it with your investment in the Education Village, and establish a program to create well-qualified, licensed industrial education teachers to serve the needs of K-12 and ultimately serve the needs of Minnesota's future. Winona State University works very closely already with Minnesota State College Southeast. We already share many services. Students who start at Southeast often finish at Winona State. They're all of about 2 miles away from us in that direction. So it's a very logical place to pilot this, which would be a seamless transfer pathway for students who learn technical skills for 2 years at Minnesota State College Southeast and then earn a teacher license at Winona State. Minnesota State Chancellor Devinder Malhotra is supportive of the project and wrote a letter to the House leadership last year attesting to his support. We envision this project as a model for how other college and universities could partner throughout Minnesota and build a bright and promising future, a North Star that shines ever brighter and illuminates pathways for every young person, regardless of where they might be going. So thank you for listening to me, and I'll turn it back over to Representative Pawlowski. I don't know if you're doing questions after the testifiers are done or as we go.
President Olson, thank you. If you can stay with us until all the testifiers are done, then we'll see what questions people have. Next on my list is Vice President of Academic Affairs, Minnesota State College Southeast, Chad Dull. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Chad Dull. I serve as the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Minnesota State College Southeast. And I also bring greetings from my president, Dr. Larry Lundblad, who unfortunately couldn't be here today. I do appreciate the opportunity to just share a little bit what Dr. Olson said. I'll try not to repeat all of it, but I agree with all of it. I also did want to thank you for spending the time on our campus last fall. That was, besides being very good for our community, it was good for our campus community. A number of our students were able to be engaged in the legislative process and understand how that works. And I think the fact that we're coming back today and talking about something that began in that really lands home with the folks that you all serve. So I appreciate that. Briefly, I can tell you that a college like Minnesota State College Southeast, an open access two-year Technical and Community College is about creating opportunity. And I think this bill that you're looking at is about creating opportunity. We are all aware of the skills gap between our manufacturing and transportation sectors and the really great opportunities that folks have there that sometimes our students aren't always aware of or don't understand the value of. And that really begins with having excellent educators in that K-12 system. So anything that we can do to broaden that pipeline, to get expertise to those students, I would strongly support. I think the other unique thing about this approach, this model that's proposed, is that it really leverages strengths. So the strength of an institution like mine is that we have in-house experts in transportation, in manufacturing, in construction careers, those kind of hands-on skills, and instructors with industry experience. And I'll second or third the notion of Winona State as a teacher education shining North Star, as Dr. Olson said. As a proud teacher education graduate of Winona State myself, I know that what happens there is transformative for the students who are there and for the students that they serve. So I think this chance to put technical expertise together with pedagogical expertise is unique. I also think that in these times of finite resources and the need for collaboration, this is a model of partnership. We do a lot of partnership work at the K-12 level. We are constantly promoting careers in the fields that we support through partnership with technical education instructors, through grant-funded, what we call hubs activity, where we try to provide our expertise and occasionally some equipment in those schools to help broaden the amount of opportunity for students and support the vitality of our communities in that way. So I think you have a unique opportunity here to not only create another pathway to have excellent educators with real life expertise working with students, you could be opening the door to folks who were technical college graduates, have worked in industry, and now want to come back to that world of education to give back. That I think there's really an interesting and important opportunity to make a connection there. There are, and I'm sure I see Christy Ransom's here today as well, and she'll probably tell you, there are so many opportunities for students all along this pathway, from being career ready right out of high school through bachelor's degrees and beyond. So I think this chance to create support along that pathway is vitally important. I appreciate the support in considering it, and I will wrap up there and be glad to stay around for questions that you may have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Vice President Dahl. Before I introduce the retired superintendent of Winona Area School, Scott Hannon, I have to relay a brief story. I had the first digital projector at Winona Senior High, and it was embedded in my ceiling. The light bulb burned out, and I went down to the superintendent for two reasons. It was over $100 to replace the light bulb, and I had no idea how to do it. So we got the light bulb, we went up, and as a former vocational ed student, the superintendent of schools and I took the better part of a half hour replacing that light bulb. So if anyone ever asks the question, how many people does it take to replace a light bulb in a digital projector embedded in the ceiling? It actually takes three, a superintendent of schools, a social studies teacher, and a state rep. So with that, I'll introduce former superintendent of schools and industrial arts teacher, Scott Hannon, who, by the way, this bill came about as a result of his testimony at the mini session. So welcome to the committee, Superintendent Hannon, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thanks, Representative Pawlowski. I'm Scott Hannon, H-A-N-N-O-N, retired superintendent of Winona Area Public Schools. And just to give you a little background on myself, I'm a graduate of Winona State, a bachelor's degree in industrial technology or industrial arts, and a master's degree also. And I taught for 12 years in the Winona system. And interestingly enough, I took my dad's job. My dad also was an industrial arts graduate of Winona State. And as Vice President Dahl said, that some people that have been out in the workforce for a number of years and want to come back and get back into education, that's an example of my dad. My dad went, he was clerking in a school, in a store downtown Winona for 75 cents an hour. My mom was cleaning apartments and ironing for pittance, and we were just barely making it. And he decided to go back to school and get a college degree. And he did that at the age of 40. I started kindergarten the same year he started at Winona State. And he was able to complete his studies in 3 years. He went full-time, summer session all year round. And, Winona State, I still have to give Dr. Olson a little bit of ribbing that he was so old at age 40, Winona State had to waive his Phi Ed credit so that he didn't have to take the class. But anyway, I took his job and 12 years of teaching industrial technology, and then got into administration and was fortunate enough to work my way up and finish off as superintendent. So since I retired, I've been doing some education consulting. I've been fortunate to be able to do that. I worked with Dr. Olson on the Education Village. And I also worked with a facilities master planning firm out of the Twin Cities, where I had the opportunity to go around the state of Minnesota and talk to various superintendents about their facilities. And in the process of doing that, I found that they would ask me, well, what's your background? You know, we know you were superintendent in Winona. What else did you do there? Or what did you teach? And I said, industrial technology. You wouldn't believe the number of superintendents that say, hey, is your license current? We need you. We'd like to have you. Come on, we got a job for you. So I started asking the question when I'd go to these different districts, sure enough, there was a shortage of industrial tech teachers. And in fact, one school district had an agreement worked out with Stout over in Wisconsin that a student teacher would come over and teach they'd be supervised by a teacher, but a student teacher would teach the classes for half a year, and then another student teacher would come over for the second half of the year. So they couldn't find anybody. Fully a third of the tech ed teachers in the state of Minnesota are operating on waivers. So we just didn't. So I started thinking about that. And because I was meeting with Dr. Olson quite often, I came upon this idea and I just thought, you know, why don't we take a look at collaborating with Southeast Tech? They've got all the courses. They've got the carpentry courses, the welding courses, the machining courses and et cetera. Winona State has all the pedagogy, all the how to teach, how to assess, all those courses. And it just seemed like fitting them together seamlessly, you know, obviously it'll take a little work, but I just thought you don't have to add any expenses. You've got the teachers. You don't have to add more teachers. You've got the courses. You've got the equipment. You know, it just made so much sense. So I pitched the idea to Dr. Olson, and then we met with Dr. Lundblad. And they both said, hey, run with it and see what you can find out. And one of the reasons that this is really hitting home with all the school districts is that in 2013, the state legislature, you folks, created the world's best workforce. And in that world's best workforce legislation, you wanted all kids to be able to start, ready to start kindergarten, all third graders to read at grade level, achievement gaps between students closed. All students are ready for career and or post-secondary education. And that was the big one right there. And then all students graduated from high school. But that getting ready for a career and post-secondary education, that was the kicker. That caused all the school district to say, oh, my God, how can we do that? How can we get these kids ready for that? So they started looking at the industrial tech teachers and career tech ed. So why were they focused on this world's best workforce? Our population is aging. Approximately 70% of the jobs today require at least a high school diploma or some post-secondary education. We don't have a number of qualified candidates to fill the jobs in the trades. You go out there and talk to people in the trades, and they're going to say, hey, we can't get enough people to be plumbers, electricians. We can't get these people to be apprentices. Fastest growing segment of our future workforce is students of color. And they currently have the state's lowest graduation rate. We need to get on that. We need to make that, to improve that. And we have one of the worst black and white achievement gaps in the country. So there's really a need to focus in on those areas and get those kids ready for post-secondary education and or a career. So world's best workforce really was kind of the impetus for school district to say, hey, we need more of these teachers. Well, what's the problem? The problem is that there's very few teacher institutions in the Midwest that are turning out career tech ed or industrial technology teachers. Almost all of them have dried up. I've got a bachelor's degree and master's from Winona State. They don't offer it anymore. Bemidji doesn't offer it anymore. Stout is about the only one in the area that has one. And the figures of people going into education, if you're thinking about being an education major, about 6% of those kids that start the courses don't finish. But get this one, 88%, since 2004, 88% of the industrial education graduates did not go into teaching. 80-some percent of the family and consumer science, same thing, didn't go in. Around 75 to 80% of the business education teachers did not go into teaching. And why is that? Because there's more money in the private sector. They aren't interested in teaching because it's just not quite as lucrative. So there's a real dearth of industrial tech or career tech ed teachers, and we need to fix that. And this bill will allow us to chip away at the needs of the that we have to get more tech ed teachers. It's a simple bill. It's really simple. It's just collaboration between two institutions that already have so many things in place. It just needs the coordination to have it done. I just want you to know, too, that I presented this idea to the mini session in 2018 at Minnesota Tech. They liked it. They jumped all over it, and they thought it was just very, very good. I've also presented this idea to Southeast Minnesota Superintendents Association. Over 50 superintendents were they were present for the meeting. They all liked it, and all of a sudden they all started saying, yeah, we need this. When can you get it going? We're behind you, and so on. I presented to the Principal Association. Same results. So this is to me, it's a simple, coordinated effort between two already highly regarded institutions that have the courses, have the teachers, have the wherewithal to collaborate to increase the number of tech ed teachers that can teach these kids and get them ready for the career or post-secondary education that they need. So that's kind of where I'm at, and I just think it's a great opportunity for state of Minnesota for little cost. How many times do you have people coming to you and they want a new fountain in their park and they're asking for $500,000? We're not asking for that. We're just asking for some startup money to help coordinate these two great institutions to provide for all of the children in the state of Minnesota for the best that we can provide for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hannon. Next on the list is Christy Ransom, President and CEO of the Winona Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Christy Ransom. I'm the President and CEO of the Winona Area Chamber of Commerce, and I am so appreciative, Gene, of your leadership and all the other representatives on this committee and representing the state of Minnesota. This is something I'm going to talk about this from two facets, personal and professional. I'll start with professional. We at the Chamber are very deep into a workforce readiness program called Reach Your Full Potential, and it was birthed through the Business Education Network that was a partnership and a collaboration with my predecessor, Della, and Winona State University, Minnesota State College Southeast, and Winona Area Public Schools. So this is something that we have been working hard on to try and to fill a need in our community that exists, and that is a lack of students prepared to go into the workforce in our manufacturing sector and now in our health and human services sector. Manufacturing is huge here, as you all know and are aware after your time down in Winona. And our manufacturers reached out to our higher eds and to us at the chamber to fill a need that existed. How can we create a pipeline of students that understand what a career in manufacturing looks like and the growth opportunity within it. So this program called Reach Your Potential was birthed. What we have seen in the time that we have created this program is a turnover in our career and technical education teachers here in Winona, for the same reason that all three other testifiers that preceded me have explained. There just isn't enough of them to fill the positions that exist. And for those that do find their way into that career path, the private sector can pay them more and they end up sort of falling into that path instead of career educators. So we understand that there's a need. I know, and Chad could probably attest to this, but I believe that Minnesota State Southeast works with 23 different high schools through their Perkins Consortium, and they realize the immense lack of career and technical education teachers. I think in this region and in probably other regions throughout the state, and I can attest to where my kids grew up in Lacaparo County, ag teachers are a different story, but career and technical education teachers are a problem. I think that this program that we have created and that Dr. Hannon has alluded to is really something special to have a 2+2 program where our career, our technical education can give a multidimensional major to a student that wants to come in and learn construction or CNC or mechatronics or any one of those pathways to create a light in a student's mind that gives them an opportunity beyond high school that doesn't follow, you know, a four-year degree or even a two-year technical degree if that's not what they so choose. But beyond that, then to go to a partnering university, four-year university like Winona State that already excels in education to get the pedagogy, the gen eds, and the student teaching, that is insanely smart. It would behoove us to utilize these two wonderful institutions that work together every single day for the betterment of our students and our communities, to create a program that could be successful and that could fill needs all throughout the state of Minnesota. This need that they speak of, I think it used to be SESU and Bemidji that were the only two that had interdisciplinary opportunities for this. And as Dr. Hannon already alluded to, some of those don't exist. So now you're going out of state to get those degrees. And it's harder to get people back in the state to actually fill those teaching needs. So I believe this is absolutely something that needs to be funded and started. And it, as Dr. Hannon had alluded to, we're not asking for the moon here. We're asking for startup funds. I believe that Winona State and Minnesota State College Southeast are prepared to take what they are given and roll with it, market it well, get students into those programs and pursuing educational fields to fill the needs in our school system. From a personal standpoint, I have three children. My oldest is in the workforce already, graduated from a two-year technical degree. And I want to share this because this is really important. Growing up in far western Minnesota, I grew up in Madison, Minnesota. My kids went to Lacaparo Valley High School, so farm country. And they have technical education teachers. My son was able to take a lot of technical classes, ed classes, biotechnology classes. And in high school, that was what lit him up. And I think it really showed him a path to a career that will completely fill his heart for years to come. So he ended up going to Lake Area Tech in Watertown and pursuing a degree in diesel mechanics. And, you know, I think it is those teachers in those fields that we sometimes take for granted that give a student an opportunity or an idea that creates something in them that shows them a different way. My oldest would have never succeeded at a four-year university. It would have ate him alive. It just, not that he wasn't smart enough to do it, it just, he would have been bored, he would have been overwhelmed, and he wouldn't have known what he was doing. So to have those four teachers at Lacaparo that gave him an opportunity and showed him some different things that he could do in a technical way, were, you know, beyond what I could have imagined as a mother. And I see that now with students at Winona High School. So, and students that are pursuing those technical degrees for manufacturing at Minnesota State Southeast. This is really important, and I thank you for your time, and I hope that you consider funding this program as Representative Pulaski has taken the lead on. So thank you again.
Thank you, President Ransom. We have a question. Representative Keel, you have a question?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have kind of a question statement. First of all, I wanted to correct our last speaker, Ms. Ransom. I live in northwestern Minnesota, and I am a farmer, and we don't have enough ag teachers either. University of Minnesota dropped the program and brought it back because it was a problem in up in Crookston in the university. So I am all for this technical education, but wanted to point out we really do need more. But my other question is, and this is in general for everyone, Chair Pulaski, is a part of our salary / payment for the technical teachers, part of our problem is that they're committing to longer than the instructional day. And so my question is, in general, are we reimbursing them? Are they being acknowledged for the time outside of classrooms? Because many of these instructional classes are longer than the classroom time. In this shutdown, I actually have a grandson who is in construction trades right now. And because school was shut down, they couldn't even work on the building they were building. And finally, the board and the school district agreed to let two or three students work on the house so that they could keep that project going. Otherwise, they wouldn't have finished it this year. So, that's a side problem that is just because of our culture, our issues now with COVID. But I'm just wondering if that is part of our financial problem with instructors. Thank you.
Representative Keel, we're going to have a series of presentations from various groups, including the Department of Education, which I've already met with. That question should be raised when we have those groups presenting, and that will happen in the next series of hearings.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Edelson, you have a question.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, that really goes to my question because I feel like we're jumping into a bill. And as a new committee member here, I would really love to get a larger understanding of this issue for the whole state of Minnesota. So that answers my question that we'll be having that, it sounds like.
Yeah, Representative Edelson, I think if you go to the materials that were sent, this bill made it all the way to Ways and Means last session. And then, of course, with the collapse with the pandemic and special session. So we've been working on this through three legislative sessions. This bill is not going to be passed right away when we get the official bill. This bill will be with us through probably this entire session, and we will use it as a core bill to add to it whatever else we think we need to do to make sure that we can address the concerns that are being raised. So this is a start, but I would prefer to start somewhere instead of nowhere. Representative Sundin, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. More of a comment and then maybe a question at the end. The number one source of technical and training for trades and other entities would be the United States military right now. The second is the building trades, North American building trades. And the tens of thousands of people that are trained every day in their particular skills. It's a tremendous job that people are doing. We've got literally dozens, maybe in excess of 100 instructors in Minnesota teaching the building trades courses throughout the state. And very few of them do have a degree in teaching. They know their subject matter inside out. Their teaching skills absolutely could be improved. I know that. And I'm just wondering, how do we connect the people that are actually teaching the building trades right now into an educational program for those people that are instructing now to make them better instructors and maybe come out with a degree? Are we envisioning online courses to include these people? because what concerns me more than anything is pumping out more educators without any real life experience in the trades. You know, they're absolutely smart in school, but when they get on the bus, it's a different story. So what I would really like to see is this type of program include people that are already involved in teaching, and it could make opportunities for the people that are already engaged in earning and learning in the building trades. It'd be a much greater opportunity for them to be exposed to some skilled teachers. So I guess that's my question. How do we incorporate
Representative Sandin, you raise an excellent question, and I'm going to let either President Olson or Vice President Dull answer it. So which of you would prefer to answer?
Well, we, Representative Pawlowski, Representative Sandin, we probably both have thoughts about this. In the chat, I just dropped a couple of links, the second of which is a link to a Minnesota State College and University website where you enter what branch of the service you were in, what you learned there, and then it shows you what transfer credit already exists when you enroll in a Minnesota State college. And it's a pretty interesting tool, and you can poke around with it, but the link to that is in the chat. Most of those students will end up at the colleges. So I think my colleague, Dr. Dahl, would probably have more thoughts about how it feels to receive them. But I think what Representative Sandin said was exactly right, which is we have to find ways, more and better ways, to recognize what folks have learned in their military service.
Vice President Dahl, do you wish to respond?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Sundin. Just briefly, I would say what came to my mind when you were raising that important issue is that this notion of what we call credit for prior learning. I think that's really the essence of bringing back in that mid-career professional, and we have to find strategies, and we have some in place, but I think one of the projects in this work could be to expand how do we grant credit for things you have done in your work experience. And we have options to do that through exams, but there's also a portfolio assessment process where you demonstrate competency, particularly in those technical areas. And I think it's a way to help accelerate people along that pathway. I want to recognize that you pointed out, I think we were already becoming pretty good at what I would call alternative delivery, online instruction, what we call high flex instruction. The pandemic has made us even better at that. And I think those are tools that will be beneficial again to those folks in mid-career who want to make a change. So thank you both for raising that.
Representative Sandin, do you want to respond or should I go on to the next?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm looking forward to working on this.
Thank you. Representative Sandin, you have a question.
In a spirit of brevity, I just wanted to say, you know, my background in K-12 education, it might work well to examine later in this committee work the Grow Your Own programs that are already out there. I think Representative Sundin's question is excellent, and I think we have some foundational groundwork already laid in that type of model, and I think it might behoove us to look at that a little bit too. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Dr. Olson or Dr. Scott Hannon in regards to alternative teacher licensure for those folks who've been in business, in manufacturing or many other trades for many years that are maybe seeking retirement but are bored and want to go back into teaching, perhaps. What is the course, and or even Representative Pawlowski, does your bill allow for alternative teacher licensure for those professionals to go back and teaching, but not have to spend many years getting that degree?
President Olson or Vice President Dahl?
Well, I would just note that we do have students who come back to Winona State and study for licensure after having already had maybe another career doing something else. And the idea that there would be folks who maybe had worked in business or industry, and now, as I think VP Dahl said earlier, want to give back by becoming a teacher, there are pipelines to do that, and they can either do it by just earning the teacher licensure, or they can do it by actually earning a master's degree that stacks on top of whatever bachelor degree they had before. So yes, that exists. I can't speak to whether HF 3232 specifically has additional provisions for that. Maybe Representative Pawlowski would know whether there's specific provisions for it in 3232.
Representative McDonald and President Olson, there are not specific provisions in the bill. The bill is simply the startup bill that we had looked at during the mini session in 2019, and then we had in the 2020 session. So it would give both institutions a startup amount, 250, and I think it was 150, 100,000 between the two, and then I believe you said tuition would kick in after that, and that would carry it forward. However, the point is well taken, and I think that's what we're going to hear from various groups as we proceed with this bill, that we need to have alternative paths, and those paths are going to have to be worked into this program if they don't exist already. So in the groups that I've already had discussions with over the last week that will be testifying with the committee, that has been raised, and that is a concern. So we will be visiting with you again to make sure that that's going to be part of the program.
Can I have a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Representative McDonald.
Dr. Olson, in that alternative teacher licensure, what does that look like as far as the time for that professional that's going back to get his degree? What's the time frame and the cost to that? Obviously, you know, some of the professionals that want to give back most likely, I'm assuming, don't want to spend 2-3 years in school getting that licensure or spending a good amount of money to give back. So just if you could share with what some of the costs are, I know it's vague, but some of the cost and or time frame that you would see. And I'll use myself an example. I'm a professional photographer. I'm a master photographer for the last 33 years. I have a business done very well. And perhaps in 5 years, I want to teach back in school and teach art and photography. I certainly wouldn't have the time or money to go and get a 3-4 year degree. So, and I know that our bill that we passed many years ago, alternative teacher licensure, allows for that. But just, you know, what would that look like? And then I'll be done with my questions, Mr. Chair.
President Olson.
Chair Pawlowski, Representative McDonald, I will drop in the chat a link to our alternative licensure website, but it would depend a little bit on what whether you already had a bachelor's degree, whether you need to earn a bachelor's degree. If you already have a bachelor's degree, it's a much shorter process if you actually want to have a master's degree. So my answer to you would be it sort of depends on where you already are, but I will drop some information in the chat, and I will work with Representative Pawlowski to make sure you've got the resources you need to learn more about how we can do that best.
Very good. Thank you.
Representative Frazier, your hand was up and then it was down, and we've had a little problem with technology.
No, I did lower it, but I was going to speak to the prior question in regards to the pathway for retired professionals or folks that are in trades. I do believe there is currently a pathway that already exists, and I think we got to that when someone mentioned the professional licensure, the tier licensure program we put in place a few years ago. I was going to speak to that. I think there's a path that already exists, so I think that's likely already covered.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from any other members? No other questions? Then I'm going to wrap it up this way. This is a
Mr. Beginning. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Representative Bierman has a question.
Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I'm very supportive of this this bill and this beginning to address the issue, both for career technical and getting students with some marketable skills coming out of high school. I think this is fantastic. And with the discussion already, we see the issues pertaining to teachers, and they're multifaceted by region and place and education and age. All of these things have to be part of that solution. So I'm really pleased to see what you're working on down in Winona. My question is, with this setup as it is, how many teachers approximately will be coming out of this this program per year? Is there any data or information you can give us on that?
President Olson or Vice President Dahl?
Mr. Chair and Representative Bierman, I'm not sure that at this point I would have any numbers that we could predict. I think that we'd have to open this door and start to get the word out. I suspect anecdotally there is interest, even in this committee discussion, I've heard interest of folks who are wanting to come back that pathway. And there's so much support from the community at large, you know, our business community partners, et cetera, that I think I'm optimistic, but I don't feel confident giving you a number at this point.
I would agree. It's kind of anecdotal at this point, but it was anecdotal at first when we invested in STEM education, and look at what we achieved there by ensuring that we had more STEM teachers in Minnesota and where that led. So, but thank you for the question, Representative Bierman. Right.
Representative Bierman, you want to follow up?
No, just a comment. I just know in my district, such a program would be extremely beneficial. And in my profession, I know the need for workers in the trades. So applaud the work. And it's one reason I wanted to be on the committee. Thank you.
Members, any further questions? Then I'm just going to refresh the members' memory a little bit.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Representative Frazier has a question.
Representative Frazier.
Sorry. Yeah, just quickly, just a statement. So I like the idea of this program. My high school actually had a vocational technical component to it. So I understand the importance, and I understand what it can bring to the students that have access to it. And that is the one thing I would raise as we continue to talk about this bill. Geographically, because Winona is where it is, I want to see those areas hit. Earlier, the superintendent talked about the disparity gaps that we have among our BIPOC community and our students. And I want to make sure that we have a conversation around how we can make sure that those areas are being addressed in some way, fashion, or form, because I do think this could be a powerful way of closing those achievement gaps and providing those opportunities for those particular students in those communities.
Representative Frazier, the intent of this is to create a program that could be replicated in other state universities. So once it's up and running, similar to other programs that existed once in various state universities because of regional needs, and assuming the regional needs here would be the larger metropolitan areas, it could be replicated. So that's also the purpose of starting this program back up. But don't forget to continue to ask the question. Further questions from the committee? Then I'm going to sum up, and I'll thank all of the presenters today.
Chair Pawlowski.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but President Olson had his hand up.
Okay. President Olson.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. Thank you, Representative Frazier, for pointing that out. I would just comment that at Winona State University, more than half of our students do come from the Twin Cities. So we are serving the population you're talking about already, and they really go back and serve the Twin Cities. So about a third of our students come from southeastern Minnesota, but we do really serve this whole part of the state, including the Twin Cities.
Thank you for sharing that.
It is interesting that you can see the hands up and I can't, but then, you know, the chair of the committee is limited in a number of ways. Thank you, though, for helping.
It was actually his physical hand.
That's okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Then I'm just going to remind the members, this is the third session we've worked on this. This committee was created as a result of the work of the previous two legislative sessions and also the mini session that was held in Winona in October of 2019. Remember, these mini sessions are rare. That mini session was the first in over 20 years to be held by the House of Representatives. And for the new members, we took the entire House out to southeastern Minnesota for 2.5 days. And the intent was to do exactly what we're doing here, to listen to the people and then come back with proposals that we could translate into legislative work for the session. So any further questions from anyone in the committee? Next week, we are going to start our study of broadband, which is going to be an interesting study, considering what the pandemic has done to highlight the need to have broadband across the state. And then we will continue with a series of hearings on this topic and our third topic, which will be refunding the disaster, Chapter 12A and 12B. So unless there are any other comments, and I don't see any, hands up, then The committee is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.